Our scripture this morning is Proverbs chapter 9. You're looking at the whole chapter, verses 1 through 18. If you don't have a Bible with you, or if you'd like to see an old-fashioned paper version, there's copies of those on the back table. Feel free to use those. Proverbs 9, beginning in verse 1. Here's God's word for us this morning. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her beasts. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. For by me your days will be multiplied, and your years will be added to your life. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. If you scoff, you alone will bear it. The woman folly is loud. She is seductive and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat on the highest places of the town, calling to those who pass by, who are going straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And to him who lacks sense, she says, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol. This is God's word. Let's pray as we consider it together. Lord, we pray that your word would bring life to our lives, bring life to this church. Lord, may your word have its way in us and through us, and yes, even despite us this morning, that Jesus be praised, that you would be worshiped, that we would see your glory and taste your goodness. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue on this kind of meandering series on Proverbs. This is kind of Proverbs 9 is the last chapter of what's called the prologue of Proverbs, Proverbs 1 through 9, a series of speeches given by kind of the father to a son. Beginning chapter 10, you have kind of what most of us think of as Proverbs, kind of the couplets, all those nifty little sayings that go on through chapter 31. What we have here in chapter 9 is kind of is a personification of wisdom and folly. They are described as women who are giving great feasts, who are giving great meals. And a meal in the scripture, particularly in the Old Testament, also in the New Testament, implies intimacy. It's not just there's no drive-throughs, there's no drive-ins in the Old Testament or a New Testament. When you had a meal with somebody, that was a significant thing. You were offering friendship and relationship to them. And so, as I just have read, when you see wisdom and folly crying out, they're really crying out to have relationships with this son, with any of us, because we too are the ones that are putting on the sandals and identifying as the son in this picture. And I think most of us understand that there's a big difference if I invite you to McDonald's to meet me at McDonald's, right? That's a big difference between that and Carrie making a five-course meal at our home, right? There's a significant there's a different feeling, and a way better taste. I can tell you that for sure. Carrie, Caleb, and I were in Charlottesville this past weekend and had a chance to go to a local restaurant called Mission Barbecue, and the proprietor was so excited to talk with Carrie and Caleb particularly about sauces and about the different things they were trying out, and he brought out different things for us to try, and he was clearly enamored with I think my wife and my son, but also I think he loved his restaurant. He loved to show off. He loved to talk about barbecue, and it was just really something to kind of behold. That's what's going on here. Wisdom is kind of, she's prevailing, to try and prevail to visit her. Folly is trying to visit her. And so what I want to do is look at these two women, look at what they promise, also look at the people they produce, and then talk about the ultimate feast at the end. First, let's talk about Lady Wisdom. Lady Wisdom. Look in verse 1. It says, Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her beasts. She has mixed her wine. She's also set her table. This woman does a lot of work. I mean, she built a house. She built her own house. She's strong. She's industrious. Including, it says seven pillars. Most homes had three. And so seven, kind of a sense of perfection. That number oftentimes in the scriptures. And notice too that the meal is her handiwork. She didn't call out for catering. She didn't call for Uber Eats. Notice it says she's the one, she kills the beasts herself. She mixes the wine. She sets her table. No doubt she had a tablecloth. She ironed it, I'm sure. So she is an industrious person, wisdom. And she is an inviter. She works hard, but she also invites. Notice it says she has sent out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here, which, by the way, is exactly the same call that Folly has in verse 16. But look at her call. To him who lacks sense, she says, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. She calls the simple and those who lack sense, and she wants them to repent. Leave your simple ways, she says in verse 6. And so wisdom is in a sense a life of repentance. Wisdom, people who are wise repent. People who are wise know that they are sinners. People who are wise know that they do not have it all together. That's Lady Wisdom in verses 1 through 6. And certainly in other places in Proverbs, you will see personifications like that. Then there's Woman Folly. Let's skip down to verse 13. Woman Folly. But Woman Folly is loud. Do you have a friend or two, perhaps, who has a hard time with their inside voice? You know what I mean? It just seems kind of loud for the occasion. You just wonder why they're talking so loud. That's kind of what I think is Woman Folly. But if you don't have that friend, you probably are that friend to somebody then. Or you're hard of hearing. Or all of the above. But she is loud. And that is not a good thing. She is seductive, meaning she's full of simpleness. And she knows nothing. She's ignorant. She's ignorant of her ignorance. She doesn't even know what she doesn't know. She is not industrious. Notice it says that she sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat on the highest place of the town. She calls those who pass by who are going straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And to him who lacks sense, she says, stolen water is sweet. And bread eaten in secret is pleasant. You even wonder, perhaps, going back to the fact she's not industrious. How did she get this house? Is she renting this house? Did she steal it from somebody? Did she woo somebody from it? But notice instead, it doesn't say she offers food to those who come. She doesn't offer food. She just says she offers stolen water and bread eaten in secret. This has kind of sensuous and adulterous overtones, right? Stolen water is sweet. Bread eaten in secret is pleasant. In other words, there's no need for repentance. It's too good to be true, isn't it? She doesn't ask for repentance. She doesn't identify someone as a sinner. She doesn't encourage them to live. She says, I want to give you a stolen moment or two. You can almost hear the serpent from Genesis 3 talking through her. But verse 18 is the real kicker. So while she promises all these wonderful things, the sweet water and the bread, it's pleasant. She's really inviting inviting us to a horror movie. Because the dead are there. Her guests are dead. They're the living dead. She's inviting someone to the very depths of Sheol, to hell. That's the way of the world, isn't it? The way of folly. Eugene Peterson has a translation of this in his message. I thought it was really poignant. We'll start with Lady Wisdom, and we'll go back to the other in just a moment. Verse 1, it says, Lady Wisdom has built and furnished her home. It's supported by 7 hewn timbers. The banquet meal is ready to be served, lamb roasted, wine poured out, table set with silver and flowers. Having dismissed her serving maids, Lady Wisdom goes to town, stands in a prominent place, and invites everyone within the sound of her voice. Are you confused about life? Don't know what's going on? Come with me, oh come, have dinner with me. I've prepared a wonderful spread, fresh baked bread, roast lamb, carefully selected wines. Leave your impoverished confusion and live. Walk up the street to a life with meaning. And then he calls Lady Folly, Madam Whore. Then there's this other woman, Madam Whore, brazen, empty-headed, frivolous. She sits on the front porch of her house on Main Street. As people walk by, minding their own business, she calls out, Are you confused about life? Don't know what's going on? Steal off with me. I'll show you a good time. No one will ever know. I'll give you the time of your life. But they don't know about all the skeletons in her closet, that all her guests end up in hell. There's two paths in life, wisdom and folly. God's way or our way. And they're personified here in this passage. Let's talk about what was in the middle then. We skipped over the people they produce. What are the kind of people that are produced by wisdom and folly? First, look at verses 7-9. We see the wise man and the scoffer, and how they receive criticism. Whoever corrects the scoffer gets himself abuse. He who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer; he will hate you. Reprove a wise man; he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man; he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. So the scoffer is inflexible, unteachable, defensive. He's above correction and reproof. He is wise in his own eyes. Right? Remember Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7 and 8? Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. He will bring healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. But the scoffer does not believe that. The scoffer is always right. I'm a recovering scoffer. It's taken me a long time to realize how unright I am about many things. And so 3 times, verses 7-9, there's this instruction regarding the scoffer. And so 3 times also regards a wise man or a wise woman. But notice, instead of feigning perfection, the wise man is open to reproof, to instruction, to teaching. He knows that these things are for his benefit. Tim Keller, who passed away a couple years ago now and was one of the leading teachers in our denomination. He was criticized. He was not perfect. He certainly earned some of his criticism. But he was criticized left, right. I've never met somebody less defensive, at least in terms of the way in which he handled things. Keller, in his comment in his book on Proverbs, says, the more wisdom you have, the more wisdom you will gain in every turning in the road of life. The less wisdom you have, the less you will learn from anything. So learn from your mistakes and from criticism at all costs. When was the last time you let someone or something change your mind about a significant issue? And he has a prayer here. It says, Lord, when things go wrong or when I do wrong, help me to drop all my defenses, my blame shifting, and my self-justifications. These are the tools of fools. Like a soldier, let me say to you, no excuse, sir, and learn what I should learn. Help me start with what happened yesterday. Amen. Drop all my defenses, my blame shifting, and my self-justifications. These are the tools of fools. I spent my life justifying myself, trying to convince other people that I was right and they were wrong. Don't be a fool, dear friends. Got a beep there. Be one that receives criticism and looks for that truth, even if 98% of the criticism is wrong, there's almost always a kernel of truth in the criticism that someone offers you. Try to focus on that and what the Lord might be teaching you. Verses 10 and 11 talk about the fact, remind us of the foundation, right? Reminds us that the wise man and women have a heart orientation of faith, The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the Holy One is insight. That directs then their relationship with the living God. The result is eternal life, right? Verse 11, for by me your days will be multiplied and years will be added to your life. This life begins here. Eternal life begins here and here and now, but it continues past the grave. Remember what Jesus said to his disciples in John 14? I go to prepare a place for you. No such promise exists for the scoffer or the fool. They get what they deserve. We get something even greater. And verse 12 is a reminder that whether you are foolish or wise, your actions and words will come back to you to bless or haunt you. Right? If you're wise, you are wise for yourself. There's kind of a sense that wisdom is kind of its own gift, its own reward. If you are wise in the Lord, that's something you can carry with you and bless other people with. But if you scoff, you alone will bear it. Scoffers are not folks that tend to welcome other people. When you scoff, you really are really saying that you are better than everyone else and that you are in the judgment seat. That then points us to the ultimate feast. The ultimate feast. The feasts of these two women, of course, are far more than sharing a meal. They point to a heart orientation, the fear of the Lord, which informs a life of fidelity, however imperfect, to the commands of God. Or in Wisdom Folly's case, a heart orientation that God is indifferent or too distracted to notice our unrepentant lives or even that God is dead. The scoffer, the fool, lives out his atheism by devouring and consuming his neighbors for his own twisted pleasures. Right. You know, probably the most significant thing I think of that is a great example of this is pornography. How many girls and women have been sacrificed on the altar of men's twisted pleasures? I'm sure in a group this big, some of us no doubt have struggled with this from time to time. Dear friends, we ought not to consume or use others. We need to bless them and to build them up. That's the difference between a scoffer, a fool, or a wise person. Notice the feast of Lady Wisdom and Woman Folly. They point to the greatest feast of all. There's something better than these feasts. They join a long list of feasts in the life of Old Testament Israel. Passover, Purim, the Feast of Booths, Tabernacles, so on and so forth. These feasts celebrated God's covenant love for his people. There are other feasts, though, mentioned in Scripture, smaller feasts, smaller meals, I think also point to this truth. If you know your Bible, it's Genesis chapter 14. That mysterious Melchizedek shows up. Melchizedek, who's mentioned in the Psalms, who's also mentioned in Hebrews. He greets Abraham after Abraham's great victory on the battlefield, right? When he wins, defeats an array of kings and rescues his nephew Lot. It says, Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was a priest of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram by God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High who has delivered your enemies into your hand. So there's a great victory and then a feast offered afterwards. And then Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. We are so secure in our shepherd's love for us. In Psalm 23, we can eat in the presence of our enemies and know we will not be hurt. We cannot be harmed because Jesus himself is the one who's protecting us. And of course, the Last Supper, which informs our Lord's Supper, which is a foretaste of the great marriage supper of the Lamb, something to look forward to. Revelation 19 talks about that. John writes, and I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters, and like the sound of many peals of thunder, crying out, "Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints." These feasts remind us that our God is a victorious God, one who has defeated our enemies, the devil, the world, and even our own sin and flesh. For how often do we stray? How often do I stray? How often do you stray from Lady Wisdom's table to visit's Folly's feast for just a little while? Right. It's only by the grace of the Lord Jesus that he pulls us from the dead by giving his own life. It's only by experiencing hell on the cross that he rescues us from hell itself. Dear friends, may we only be found a permanent diner at Wisdom's house. And even though we visit from time to time Lady Folly, praise be to God that when we are stuck there, Jesus is there to rescue us. Wisdom and Folly call out to you this morning. The gospel and the world call out to you this morning. A God of grace and a God of mercy and a God of love calls out to you versus being a God yourself. Where will you dine? Where will you find relationship? Where will you invest your time and your money? Where will you indeed find the fear of the Lord? Know that in him your sins are forgiven. Know that in him you have wisdom. Know that in him you have forgiveness from your folly. Let's pray as we consider the Lord's table. Come to the Lord's table together. Lord, we thank you for the gift of wisdom and the warning of folly. Lord, help us to trust you. For Lord, so often we compare the two meals and we think, yes, indeed, we want the sweet water. We want the stolen bread. We feel like we're missing out on something. Oh, Lord, forgive us for our foolishness. Lord, help us instead to repent and turn to you in faith, to live a life of wisdom, a life that blesses others and does not consume them, a life that is pleasing to you. Lord, teach us that this morning. Teach us that throughout this week. Remind us of your great covenant love for your people. And Lord, may we feast upon you in faith at this table coming soon. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.